today on Real Radio.
But there will be a day of suffering in your life. Something will come. And all this stuff will no longer be just a sermon. It won't be just a verse. You'll grab onto it and you will cry out to God and you will say, "Oh God, I need to see the power of this strength of yours."
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. There's a paragraph in chapter 4 where the Apostle Paul writes of the hard times we believers go through. We absolutely, and this is for sure, we will experience these difficulties. Here's the good news, though. Not only will we get through these tough times, but it is the Almighty who will see us through. In other words, He gets all the credit because He does all the work. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called His Power for Our Perseverance.
Notice what's missing. To be emotionally, mentally, and physically in doubt. Notice it's not spiritually in doubt. That's amazing. Church, listen. He says we're going to be brought to a point as believers where emotionally, mentally, even physically, we are going to be into the place of doubt. I don't think my body can take this anymore. I don't think I can be thinking about this anymore. I can't take this anymore. My emotions are tearing me apart. All those things are true. But listen, not spiritually destroyed, not spiritually crushed, not spiritually knocked out. That's our strength. In the midst of everything in life, if that nuclear bomb went off, it affects nothing of your spirit. It could blow up right here, right now, and my spirit, my soul, lives forever. You can't destroy that. Eternal. Despair. The word despair here means despondency, to have no hope. We don't have that. To be despondent, the word means to have no hope. Christian, no matter what you and I are going through, you have hope if you turn your eyes and look upon Him. Just look. Just look. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you." Listen to that. "I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Make that a memory verse. That is an awesome verse. The word "uphold" here in Isaiah 41:10 means this: "I will take you by the hand. I will put you in my grip. I will not let you go." What a great comfort. Persecuted. The word "persecuted," but not forsaken. The church is under persecution in America right now. It's increasing. I don't know if you watch the news or not. I don't know if you watch what's coming out of Washington or Sacramento. It's directly, specifically against the believers. I got a thing. Somebody snuck it out from the California Education Board. They got it to me. And in the note, it said in there that we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and you're going to hear the biggest noise from the Bible-believing Christians, but do this instead and say this instead. Being given to leaders in our state. They didn't say that about any other religion. They just said it about those who hold to their Bibles. And this is how you handle it. It's a gross undermining of you raising your children, which is an affront, by the way. This week you saw in the news with the German family that wants to legally immigrate to the United States because Europe, Germany, and Sweden, they don't want them there because they're homeschoolers. What did the president's office say this week? Did you read it? That no parent has the right to homeschool their children. Yep. Well, then who has the right to teach their children? Who? If the parents don't have the right, then who does? Do you see what's under attack? Deuteronomy chapter 6. "You shall teach these truths to your children when they wake up, and when they walk, and when they lay down at night. You teach them the truth of this book." You're under attack, ladies and gentlemen. I know you look comfortable right now, but you're under attack. Persecution has begun. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, you need to read Hebrews 11 from time to time. It's very encouraging. It's the lifestyles of the righteous and faithful. It's an awesome chapter. Hebrews 11, 32 says, what more shall we say? This is the faith of our brothers and sisters before us. For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, not Obama, and Samson, Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and of the prophets, who? Through faith. And this is what you and I must build upon, our faith. Subdued kingdoms. Leave it on the screens. Subdued kingdoms? Faith? How does faith subdue kingdoms? Because faith gets inside of a person's heart. And it causes them to stand up in liberty and in freedom. Individual self-worth, that you are valuable, created in the image of God. And the Bible says, subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. No doubt Daniel, but what of others? Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Verse 35, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, were slain with the sword, and I love this. If I were in another setting, it'd bring tears to my eyes. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world is not worthy of. That's awesome. God's grace and strength is what we have. It's all that we have, but it's enough. The next thing under verse 10 is the strength that is never exhausted. His strength is never exhausted. God never tires. Have you ever been to the point where you're just absolutely tired of fighting this battle, whatever it may be in your life? And you come to the end of you? The Bible says, the psalmist writes, when he comes to that moment, underneath you arrive the everlasting arms of our God. You say, Jack, I don't get any of this, what you're talking about. I understand that. But there will be a day of suffering in your life. Something will come. And all this stuff will no longer be just a sermon. It won't be just a verse. You'll grab onto it and you will cry out to God and you will say, oh God, I need to see the power of this strength of yours. And then, listen, if this were not true, I would resign and I would shut up at this very second. If these truths of God were not effective, I would leave now. I would hope you would leave now as well. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. If this is not true, let's get out of here. But something will come into your life if it hasn't already, and you'll be thrust upon the promises. And I got good news for you. They can never be exhausted. Every Christian you know that has gone through the fire has borne testimony. They have manifested the strength of Jesus Christ in their life. They speak fewer words than ever, but it's more well-placed. And they say things in a sentence, and you just back up and say, they know my God. Job 23:10 says, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. Mark it. My foot has held fast to his steps. It's so sweet what that means. I have kept his way and not turned aside. It's so cool. It's so great. Imagine right now. In fact, this would be a good lesson before we hit summer. Go find some mud somewhere. Get your kids, get your grandkids. Go find some mud. Put on some boots and walk in the mud. Okay? Walk ahead of them in the mud. Leave your prints behind. Okay? And then turn around and have them walk in your footsteps. Do it. Give them that verse. That's what it means. Job is saying, you know what? He's gone before me. He's walked. He's made the path clear. He's compacted everything that is scary and slippery, and I'm just going to put my foot in front of his. That's the key. Jesus, you know what it's like to face death. I don't know what it's like. Help me now. Jesus, you know what it's like to be rejected. I don't know. Help me now. What is it in your life? Isn't it awesome? The God that we have to cry out to has gone through everything and more than what any human will ever go through, so we can be comforted by his tribulation. And then what happens in our lives? Because I know all of us emotionally would say, I don't want to go through that. I understand that emotionally. But guess what? There's a life to be lived. And once you come through it, turn around and help those through their moments. Because their moment will be coming. Isaiah 40, 31. I remember being a brand new Christian. I don't know why I did this, but I got into running. It's one of the worst decisions I ever made. And on my tennis shoes, I wrote Isaiah 40, 31. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God's promises. And third consideration under this point is this. The power of his strength is that it keeps us near. His strength keeps us near. When I just hear those words, I think of a child that gets scared and they run in between their father's legs. To them, there's no greater place. Have you ever seen them? They're terrified. They come running up and they hide there. Yesterday, I barked too loud. I was playing. My granddaughter wanted me to be a puppy and she wanted to give me these bones. So I was on my hands and knees barking and she's going, good puppy, come here, puppy. And she's throwing me these treats, you know. And so I'm barking and listen. This is free. This is an insert. Take gym socks. Take your athletic socks. They fit perfect over your ears. They hang straight down. It's perfect. And I just barked too loud. I went, I just made this big bark. And she went like this. She went. And she goes like this. Watch. She goes, Hi, Papa. Want to go outside, Papa? End of playtime. Right. Let's turn the page. She went from being terrified because I got too much into the dog part and wanted to immediately revert back to Grandpa. We're just like that. There comes that moment when we revert and we need to revert to Grandpa, to God, to Papa, the Almighty God. And we cling to him. Difficulties, challenges, hardships, these things come into our lives, they keep us near. Sometimes God hears the most from us in prayer when we're in such difficult hours. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, great verse. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 begins, Paul says, remember, God was using him so mightily, and at some point in his ministry, Paul got sick, real sick. And he got the answer from God. Isn't it amazing? He prayed. He prayed and asked God to heal him. God said, nope, not going to do it. Can you imagine God telling you that? Could God tell you that, church? Absolutely. Paul wanted to be healed. He was not healed. And God says, here's the reason why. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Isn't this amazing? A messenger of Satan to buffet me. This is all from God. God's using these things. God didn't send evil to Paul, but evil wanted to eat Paul up, and God allowed it. Big difference. Under his watchful eye. Are you going through a hardship? God's eye cannot ever be any closer than at any given time, but he lets you know more often in a crisis, hey, Jack, my eye is upon you. I'm with you. So a messenger of Satan was sent to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, that is his ailment, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul's answer, well, therefore then, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You want that verse? I want this verse. So are you sure you want to pray that verse? I prayed for patience. I'll never pray that again. I understand that. But listen, pray for patience and pray for this. Why? Because you know what? The power of God so much transcends the difficulty. We have got, listen, we've got to trust Him. Third and final point, we'll close with this. We have a few moments to wrap this third point up. It's this, the power of His purposes. His power for our perseverance, you guys, is the power of His purposes for us. God's got a perfect purpose. He says, for we who live are always, verse 11, delivered to death for Jesus' sake. What does that mean? Living the Christian life is going to cost you every day. That the life of Jesus also may be manifested, revealed, made clear, made known in our mortal flesh. The world's going to look at us and say, what in the world is going on? Their God's awesome. Look what they're going through. Their family's intact. They're suffering this in the flesh. Their God is awesome. Verse 12, so then, death is working in us, but life in you. Very simply this, the power of God's purposes in our lives is to do this, is to communicate God's reality to an unbelieving world around us, including other Christians as well, but predominantly an unbelieving world. God wants to use you in your daily living. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to go to Bible college. You don't have to be ordained. God wants to use you. As believers, all of us. Why? That in our mortal bodies, the absolute power of God's purposes will be revealed. Just two simple ways we'll hit on right now. His purposes regarding our life. He's purposed us for life. God wants us to live following Him through thick and thin. He is not, hallelujah, church, He's not a fair weather God. For we who live always are delivered to death. What is He saying? You guys know this. Jesus said for us to take up our cross and follow Him daily. You said, this is kind of a depressing verse. No, it's not. Listen. God is saying today, for every one of us who are believers, today, I am going to, if you let me, lead you through this life. There'll be situations that will come into your living today through your life. Let me speak to others. Well, so what does that mean? I don't know. But I know this. Whatever happens today, what's going to happen today? I don't know what's going to happen today. You're making me nervous. What's going to happen today? I don't know. I don't need to know. I know this, though. My God knows about it before it comes. What's that cute little saying? I don't know what today holds, but I know Him who holds today or something like that. It's cute, but true. So, you're going to leave in a second. What's going to happen? I don't know. Be so open to what God wants to do. Well, what if this? What if that? Don't know, but God's in it. No accidents in the child's, God's children's lives. No accidents. It's impossible for there to be an accident in God's children's lives. He's always ordering them. And not only this, His purpose is us for life, to live this life for His glory. But we end here in verse 12. He's purposed us for eternity. Please keep your eyes on the goal. Now I want to share a little bit of what I shared in this funeral this week with this baseball player and the team, for that matter. Do we really believe, honestly, that, and I'm not disparaging competition. Are you in something? Are you going for number one? Then do it. The Bible says, do it for the glory of God, but do it. If we're on a baseball team, we should do everything within our power to win, right? That's life. That's awesome. But do we really believe that once we get that trophy and we win the state championship or we become Hall of Famer, is that really it? That's not it. If you're living today for all of this gusto, and you're thinking, man, if I just achieve this and just get that, that's it, man, that's it. Really? A friend of mine, as I mentioned earlier, went to see Jesus this week. To think for a moment, when I got the call, I just laid back down in bed and I thought, Lord, comfort his family. And then it dawned on me, watch this. Lord, comfort his family. And oh my God, I'm talking to you. You're there. I'm talking to you. He's there with you. He's in the room. From one moment to the next, he's in the room. And when I talked to him before he had died and we said our goodbyes, it was all about stuff you can't buy. He didn't talk about his degrees. He didn't talk about his achievements. It was my son, my daughter, my wife. You hear what I'm saying? Are you making it through to the end? God is saying with pom-poms, as it were, yes, yes, go, go. Don't look to the left or right. Go. He's for you to win, to get to the end. He's the power, the grace. He's the strength to get you there. And I end with this. Romans 8. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? A lot of people. Well, it's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? A lot of people are going to condemn you. It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. The Bible says God, Jesus, the Son of God, is talking to God the Father for your benefit. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, as it is written, that's Psalm 44, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Think of this. How do you die all the day long? Don't you die? Oh no, that's easy. Every day living for Jesus, to die daily, for his name's sake, for his glory's sake. Romans 8:38 goes on, for I am persuaded. Church, can you stand? Stand and raise your hands. Just stand and raise your hands. Say, I'm a Baptist. Raise your hands. Just raise your hands. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing, even an angel or me, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called His Power for Our Perseverance, taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. His Power for Our Perseverance is a look into how God gets us through difficult circumstances and experiences, and that He, therefore, gets all the credit. What we just heard is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through 2 Corinthians, which will continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Hey, by the way, did you know that you can easily find all of Pastor Jack's resources at reallifewithjackhibbs.org? reallifewithjackhibbs.org, that's where you'll find all of Pastor Jack's books, the archived Real Radio programs, some archived Real Life with Jack Hibbs television programs, our Real Radio Book of the Month, personally selected by Pastor Jack, and a whole bunch of other things. The list goes on. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.